Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. And well, our plan this week was to have a chat about the West Ham game last Saturday and where Wolves are standing at the moment. But fortunately or unfortunately, the news on Sunday was that Bruno Lage had been sacked and removed as manager and head coach of Wolves. So this week we're going to have a long chat about his departure, where Wolves are standing at the moment and what lies ahead in the future. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Tony.
Mick, how are you? Or should I say, buenas noches.
Wanted a good game there. It was a cracking game.
Yeah, I was just inside half doing two or three different things and I had a Liverpool game on. They went 1-0 up, but I see Alexander-Arnold is the best right foot in England again, so.
I know your man has that Napoli team playing some absolutely fabulous football, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the manager for Napoli?
Spalletti. Spalletti. A bally head fella. He had a crunch there the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But he's fantastic. They just go with you. You know what I mean? And it's refreshing to watch it. But in fairness to the referee, they were kicking chunks out one another. And he wasn't booking anybody for ages, you know?
Yeah. It was a I actually watched Juventus the other night. I watched a bit of that game. But are Napoli winning the league in Italy?
I don't know whether they win the league, but I've watched them against Liverpool. They hammered Liverpool. And yeah. They're quality. There's some fantastic young players, and they just run at you.
Yeah,
you know, I think Napoli are tough, Tony.
Are they? Yeah,
I mean, I think they are.
You must have a dodgy box, Mick. Do you?
No, it's behind the red button on the BT.
Oh, is it? All right.
And the Liverpool one, you know.
He doesn't mind it.
I was falling asleep watching Rangers and Liverpool.
Yeah, I was just saying that. I think Mick won't openly admit now that he has a dodgy box though. Jesus, he can't do that, you know.
Well, I do have a dodgy box, I do, but I don't need it. I beat TLS, Scoy and the dodgy box.
I think Johnny and Paul pop in as well tonight, but no sign of them yet. Anyway, yeah. It's 2 weeks nearly since we had a chat with the international break and all that. So I was going to say, plan tonight was to talk about the West Ham game, but... I think circumstances have overtaken in the last couple of days. So off you go, lads. What do you think of the news on Sunday? I don't even know whether I should be asking you, Mick, because I think I could probably give your answer. But yeah.
Well, let's put it this way, Tony. I dinner at 4 o'clock and had a bottle of wine open. Then I put it to one side and gave it the second brandy. Let's put it that way.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
So, Gary, what were your thoughts when you heard the news?
Well, I've said it before, I don't lose too much sleep either way. With managers, they come and go, and there's not a lot we can do about it. And I suppose I wouldn't be the kind of person that would, you know, try to get someone out of their job. So I just tend to get on with it, got to live with it. Personally, I would have kept him on for a while, longer. I think I felt I saw enough. Now, I was watching it from a distance in a pub, no sound, nothing. So it was totally uninfluenced, if you like. But I thought I saw enough after Costa come on that him alone would help, would make a difference, somewhat of a difference anyway, having a striker. Yeah. So, yeah, personally, I would have carried on with him for a while. You say, right, if you leave him carry on until the World Cup break, if things don't turn around, have you left it too late? And no matter what happens after that, they'll say it's too late anyway.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you're heading into a period of uncertainty, like, as well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the devil you know is better than, you know, the devil you don't know. So yeah, all in all, I would have stuck with him for another bit.
Yeah. Tony, what were your thoughts on it when you heard it? Few games.
I watched the game on Saturday evening, and I just didn't think. I was surprised Neves started at centre back again. I could understand why he did that against Man City. Having been at the game, he didn't want to take a wallop, and we were 2-0 down at that stage, down to 10 men. You know, throwing in one of the young fellas, you know, could have ruined them. We could have got absolutely hockeyed.
Yep.
So I kind of gave him a bit of the benefit of the doubt on that one. I know Mick probably didn't agree with that, but I could kind of see where he was coming with it.
Yeah.
3-0 Man City, down to 10 men, probably wasn't the worst result. But I watched the game, as I said, on Saturday evening, and I just didn't think we were very... We didn't make many chances. Now, I was nipping in and out, and I kind of missed a couple of things that, yeah, that maybe happened, particularly when Traore came on. I don't know what was happening when Neto got injured. Like, clearly, from what I could see, he didn't seem to be able to want to continue or was capable of continuing.
Yeah.
He was off for ages, came on. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he couldn't even walk. Well, he could walk, but he clearly couldn't run.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not surprised. I probably a bit like Gary, maybe I would have given him a bit longer, but I wasn't surprised, put like that, after, yeah, you know, the performance. Going on about lack of strikers. Well, we bought a striker. Okay, it wasn't his fault that he got injured after 45 minutes, but we let a perfectly good striker go out on loan. Okay, you might argue that he's maybe not...
Yeah.
He's
maybe I won't argue at the moment.
You maybe argue he's not the finished product yet, but look,
yeah,
there's no good chipping the ball into a 5'4" fella in the centre, which is what we weren't doing, but we made some good chances, but, you know, we were just going backwards and forwards, sideways. Yeah. We didn't make a lot of chances, really. And he'd probably been treading water a little bit. And I was talking to Niall, my son, about it, and he was saying, look, he's brought in all these new players. And he said, well, yeah, but he may have brought all these extra players in, but other players have gone out, have been leaving. Like,
yeah,
we let two central defenders go. We let one of our central midfielders go. Like, we don't really have a lot of... There's not a lot of depth there behind.
Yeah, but it was actually what struck me... what struck me on Saturday when I looked at the team was, and the kind of people were saying, like, this is Bruno's team and all, but actually, 8 of the starting lineup on Saturday were Nuno players. So with the players right. that would come in, you know, I mean, it kind of said... And I wasn't overly enamoured. Well, I couldn't quite figure out the formation, actually, on Saturday. Now, to me, Saturday was a game where he had a good chance of kind of getting some credit back. You know, if we got a result against West Ham, it would have maybe kept things going for another while. But
I think it was
a chance blown, you know.
If you'd got a result there, okay, maybe you wouldn't expect us to get much at Chelsea if we didn't get hammered. And if we then beat Nottingham Forest, he may have struggled on a bit longer. But
I think it's...
Yeah, I was looking at the when the team was announced on Saturday, the team that got announced in the positions that got announced in turned out to be completely different than the team that actually stood on the pitch in the positions that they started the game in.
Yeah.
Because I think they were showing Johnny was playing centre back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an odd one. I mean, why have two central defenders on the bench if neither of them are good enough to start?
Yeah.
You know, what does it do for them?
And I think with the fans, you could hear it. It was actually commented on commentary, but the fans were singing, you don't know what you're doing when you made a couple of subs in the second half. You know, I think that really kind of sent out the final message, I think, to the board. Probably that's why they had their meeting on Sunday. But, Mick, so...
My opinion, he should have gone, back last April. Exactly what he said would happen has happened. Now, he had a bit... There was a big blow-up with the senior players in the end of April. There was a major blow-up with a load of them. Now, the big players in that dressing room has been, from day one, it's been John Ruddy, Cody, Soyuz, the likes of Dendon, because they were all the big... They all went because they all told them they weren't happy with what he was trying to do. And it was because of... The whole lot started from the day that he lambasted the young fella. And I said at the time, the senior players wouldn't accept it. But that's when it started, first of all. But it definitely, there was a big blow-up, what you call it, in April and May. Jimenez and Johnny then had another blow-up before... Was it the Crystal Palace game? The Brighton game.
Okay? We won the home games anyway, yeah.
They were in the start and then they were dropped out of it. Now, how can he justify letting the likes of Soyuz go and letting Cody go, right? If he didn't think that the two substitutes or the two other centre-halves weren't good enough. So why did he let them go? Now, he said having two games where he could have used them, and he didn't use either of them. Now, again, City, the problem, we gave the whole midfield up to City. In that game, we had two weeks to prepare for that game. City had 3 days. Mm-hmm. In the first minute, it was over. Yeah. Now, the City goal they got against us in the first minute was a goal that is a move that they've done so many times. If we had done our homework, that shouldn't have happened at that early stage. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you call it? You get your send it off. But when you come along and you take your best midfielder out of there, this is what we're missing. We're wondering why we're not scoring goals. We used to have centre-backs who could pass 40, 50, 60-yard balls and catch people on the turn. Then you had Neves in the midfield. He was always there to pick up the short balls and lay it off. He takes him out of there and he puts him back in defence. So straight away, we're losing there. Now, that was unforgivable against City, but he done it. But no one expected him to keep him there again in the match against West Ham. You know what I mean? That to me was crazy. Yeah. And go back to what I have been saying about the man. The man tactically is naive and was. And I will say here now that I don't believe I was listening to Nani, what do you call him? You know, the Indian lad on another, and he was saying that they got an order for so many samosas to go up to largest place on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he got the phone call from the, what do you call it, the lad to Liberty cell, says they were already left, he'd gone. That's before anybody knew he was gone. But in my opinion, he was told on Saturday, he was let know. But I do believe after seeing what's happening at the moment, it looks like Lopetegui's got the job, he's getting the job. Yeah. That they already were doing the homework about bringing someone in. And that's the way it looks to me.
Well,
he's too long there. He was left too long in there, and he has caused us a lot of damage.
Well, I mean, Mickey, he's done damage. Gary, I was going to say, just taking up on Tony's point, and you mentioned there, Mickey, about Neves. I think a lot of people were saying in the City game he kind of didn't want to break up the team too much in the game. Now, he left Neves there, but I think a lot of us were saying if Neves, like, I think we might have even said it jokingly the last time we were talking that, you know, if Neves was centre back against West Ham, like, it was a bad sign. And I mean, that's how it, you know, it turned out at the weekend.
His record is worse than what you call it, Saunders was. You know that?
Yeah, but Mick, the only difference is
Saunders,
Mick,
he was the worst manager Wolves ever had.
Mick, the only difference is,
I never said you should give him out.
Mick, the only difference is there, you know, Kenny Jagger had a great record in League One. Saunders was in the Championship. He took over.
Yeah, but Saunders or Kenny Jagger didn't have over £120 million to spare. Understand?
But sure, that's nothing.
That's realistic. What I'm talking about, the amount he won one game in 16.
Oh, that's,
and
that's
Saunders fact, wasn't as bad as that. You know,
The team, Saunders took over the team halfway through the season in the Championship, and we got relegated.
No, Tony, I'm not getting into with Saunders. What I'm just saying is that Large's record was worse than Saunders.
You can't compare. That's like saying somebody's apples are better than somebody's oranges. You know, it's completely different records you're talking about. Completely different scenarios. You're talking about a manager in the Premier League against a manager in the Championship. I mean, you might as well say Bruno was doing as well as Steve Bruce at the moment. You know,
if you're going to compare two different leagues. Tony, I'm comparing. Forget about Bruce. I'm talking about in Wolves. The worst manager they said that was in Wolves was Saunders. Now we have a manager who just let go, had a worse record than Saunders. That's all I'm saying. He's the worst on statistics. He's the worst manager we've had.
That's Premier League. I look at you now, and I tell you, in the last 10 years, we've had
Lambert.
No,
we've had
no. Just Mick.
Mick, your time on that.
Mick, I'm just taking up your point, Mick. Right, we've had Lambert before Nuno. We had Lambert, Zenga. We had Saunders. We had Saul Bakken. Like Saul Bakken was a bit like Bruno, being taken on after a manager we'd had for 5 or 6 years. Who kind of run out of his time.
Those.
So, I mean, you can't really...
Why are we discussing those managers?
Because you brought it up, Mick.
Yeah.
No, what I said was...
You mentioned Saunders, Mick. You mentioned Saunders.
I did. I said, everybody would have agreed before now that the worst manager Wolves ever had was Dean Saunders.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, and the point I made was, and the stats are there, that, what they call it, this man had a worse record than Saunders. That's all I'm saying. And that's the end of it.
You can't just say that.
I would agree with Tony. You're not comparing like with like.
Listen, he's the fucking Wolves manager. He's the worst one we've had. That's static. You know.
So are you saying Graeme Turner is the best manager Wolves ever had?
I know.
Graeme Turner is the best Wolves manager ever.
Mick, you're feeling
it's open to the debate. Different people have different things. But the stats show that his record, what to call it, in the last 15, 16 games was worse than Dean Saunders.
Yeah, but
everybody will tell you Saunders.
He was the manager for a year and a half, where Saunders was only the manager for how long? 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
I don't know how long he was there.
He was only the second half of the season in January.
He may, the last 15 games, he may have had the same record of them, but he was there. Like, if you compare his win percentage with Saunders' win percentage, it probably isn't comparable, but you probably are right if you compare the last 15 games with the last 15 games that Saunders had, but you can't really compare it like that.
Different divisions.
How do you compare managers? That's the comparison was done. How do you compare that Saunders was the worst manager? That's the way it was done, the same way. And the last one in, you can't get away from that.
That's like saying the fella who finished top scorer in League Two because he got 60 goals is a better player than the fella who finished top of the Premier League. You're not comparing like with like, Mick.
Don't be arguing the stats, Joe.
You're not comparing like with like, Mick.
I'm saying with the stats, Joe. And it's not me that said that. A lot of people have said that he is the worst manager Wolves have had.
Well, I quoted you Zenga and Saunders and Saul back in
Zenga. I'm just telling you what the stats say. You know what I mean? If the stats say what you call it, he had the worst win rate or whatever in his last 10, 15 games. That's what he had.
But that's 10. He's been there for the guts of 50 games and he didn't do too badly. I mean, he brought us back up last year to 10th from 12th the previous season. He got us as close to the Champions League.
Mick,
hold on a second. You had 5 minutes there, okay? You had 5 minutes, Mick, right? He got us as close to Champions League in the four seasons we've been in the Premier League in a row. He got us closest to Champions League spots than Nuno did last season. I think on the basis of, I know we had a bad finish of the season.
Tony,
on the basis of last season,
bullshit.
You'd be giving him a chance.
You're
we give him a chance,
bullshit.
Mick. If you have a team that can't score goals, you're on borrowed time. That's the simple fact.
The
and he's been
he
on borrowed
score
time
goals,
this season.
It is no game plan. And he never had a game plan. He doesn't have a game plan.
Well, I never had a look at his laptop.
I mean, in fairness, Mick, you've changed your tune so unbelievably in the course of a number of months. Like in the lead up to the Arsenal game last season, and we were pushing for top four. But all the talk was he got off to a bad start with his three defeats. But he turned it round. He learned from the three defeats and he went away and he beat Spurs and he went away and he beat Leicester and he went away and he beat Man United. And after losing to Brentford, he beat Brentford. Like, he turned it around.
Yeah.
I agree that he...
Now, Gary,
the big mistake I think he made. And I was going to say, I do... He did make mistakes, there's no question, including on Saturday, not going with one of the young lads in the back. But I think that was fear. That was fear from, when you're being hammered by your own people, your own fans, when you're being hammered, that's, you know, you do those kind of things, you make those kind of decisions, and that it's cost him his job in the end. Fair enough. But there was a time when he was a really good, you know, he had brought us, trying to change the way we played, he had brought us to the brink of the top four. And
Gary, you made a couple of good points there. You mentioned what you call it, the 5 or 6 games. Spurs, Man United, Leicester. In all those games he played there, he played fucking 3 at the back. That's what my argument all season was. When he changed it, that's when we had our trouble. And if you remember, only a couple of weeks ago, we were over in Portugal. We're playing the second division side.
Yeah.
And in the first half, he had this forward at the back, and they were slaughtering us football-wise, okay? They went a goal up. At halftime, and I brought it to all your attention that was there, he switched it to a back three, and I pointed it out, the back three that was in there.
Yeah.
Within the next 15 minutes, we made all the chances, and we got the equalising goal. As soon as we got the equalising goal, which kept him a penalty, what did he do? He reverted back to the four, and for the last 10, 15 minutes, them crowd were peppering us.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, but Mick, I suppose to finish...
He wasn't playing the players in the position that... when you get a coach, you manager's job, whatever it is, you set yourself up to play the system that suits the players you have.
No, Mick, yeah. From day one, he came in and he was changing to a four. Everybody knew that. And everybody...
No, everybody said that. Everybody said that, but that wasn't what happened, Gary.
He said it,
but it didn't happen.
No, he changed.
He didn't because he hadn't got the players, but now he has. I'm delighted with the changes we've made. We got two good, great young centre-backs now. You know, we've got... It's down to 12 or 13, but those 12 or 13 are really good players.
Oh, Gary, will you stop? We're playing muck.
No, Mick.
We're absolute shite.
Mick, anyway.
We won't win in 16 games, Gary. That's not my opinion. That's facts.
Yeah. Look, Mick.
That's facts.
What I was hoping to do was to talk about where we go from here. Just to finish it off, Mick, I take your point about the lads. Like, Dendonker and Soyuz and to an extent Cody were three people that the fans wanted to get rid of at various times in the last couple of years.
No, Mick,
wait, let me finish. Hold on. You know, I mean, that's out there. You can dig up plenty of social media and forums and see that Dendonker, you know the name that people used, Dendonker, that they used a different name for him. You know, I mean, you know, and that's out there, Mick. I mean, numbers wise,
it can't be out there.
You know, Bolly.
It can be out there, Tony, but it doesn't mean that the people said it. It's like your man today, what they call, or the lads on Talk Sport. Just because people say things doesn't mean it's the fact, it's the truth. Conor Cody, everybody says Cody was slow, which was a load of bollocks. And I'll tell you why. Bonucci, Chiellini, Paul McGrath, okay? Blazy. They were all set to halves.
McGrath was slow.
Considered to be slow. Considered to be slow.
Slow.
Listen, I'm not finished. Come here. I'll tell you why I will. Gary, again, let me finish my point. The point I'm making is that those lads, people consider to be slow. But as the great Stan Cullen says, the first 2 yards in the defender's sucking, it's in his head. And those lads could read the game. There wasn't a better reader of the game than Conor Cody. There's not a better reader than Bernucci. And they were there. Now, that is a fact. You have a look.
Yeah, why is he not a regular England international, Mick? You know,
Have a look. It's a fucking English man managing it. That's why. No English man has ever won the Premier fucking league.
Mick, I know.
Hold on a sec.
They should have won the cup last year. Oh, he wouldn't play the young fella. What you call it? We should have played in the middle of the park. He went with cautious.
We're not getting drawn into the England debate anyway. Okay. They've enough to look forward to in the World Cup. But like as I say, those players, you know, the players you mentioned and a couple of others. I mean. Just to finish it, Bruno, he wanted to change things forward to back from day one is what we heard. He tried it last year.
That's what
changed it. Yeah, Mick, changed it. He was determined to do it this year.
He kept going back and forward.
In all the pre-seasons, this season, it was all back four. That's what we were with. Look, that was the sword he put out there as the way forward, and he fell on it on the weekend. That's it. It didn't work out, and that's where we go. But like as I wanted to point for the next few minutes, the last few minutes, where do we go from here? There's about a dozen names out there as to who's going to come in. I was looking, funny enough, when the Wolves game finished on Saturday, I couldn't wait to turn it off. As soon as the whistle went, I switched over. Funny enough, La Liga and Seville had just been beaten by Atletico Madrid. The fans were there. There was about a 5 or 6 year old girl in the crowd. The camera panned onto her and she was shouting and roaring her head off and waving the flag. The players were on the pitch, you know, looking up at the sky. So it was a real dramatic production by Spanish TV. Tony mentioned it today there earlier on. I mean, I printed off an article from about Lopetegui's record this season, and I tell you, it's scarily like the Brunos, you know. I mean, points-wise, where they are in the league and the downward trajectory they've had this season. So, but I mean, he seems to be the favourite. He's the man we were looking for before Nuno, before Zenga and Lambert. So he seems to be the prime candidate. So,
well, I reckon he's the man for the job, and just the papers can put what they like down there. He was the man that was supposed to come in and do the job. Unfortunately, it took that long for them to do the the changeover from the Fosun, that it was the last week, and he was having thrown it down for La Liga jobs because he already had the Wolves job lined up. The Spanish international team came in for him, and he went to the Spanish team at the last minute. That's why we ended up with Sengen. Let's look at his record. Hang on. You were saying there about the paper. Let's look at the record. The record, he was the Spanish under-21 coach for a number of years, right? He was also, what you call it, he got the Spanish job. He got them qualified the World Cup. He won 20 games in the trot. And then what happened was Real Madrid came in for him. Before that, he done the deal with Real Madrid that after the World Cup, he was going to them. And when the Spanish authorities found that out, they sacked him from the
Mick,
team. That was number one.
He actually announced it. Just to get that one. He actually announced it.
Let me finish my point.
Yeah.
He then went to Seville, okay? He's qualified Seville for the last three Champions Leagues, okay? Yeah. He also won the Europa League. He beat us in the quarterfinal.
Yep.
And they beat United then the final. Yep. I said when that quarterfinal thing was made, and I stated then that whoever won that qualifying between us and Seville would go on to win that cup. That happened. Now, the lad has done well. The problem is in the likes of fucking Spain, what do you call it? The likes of Seville and the other crowd? Valencia. The basket cases. So, and the other thing I would be very, very sure of, Lopetegui has been, what do you call it, tapped up quite a number of weeks ago for Wolves. And when you think about it, why did they get that money to bring those players in? He was calling the shots from far the field. He was making the fixes.
I hadn't heard that. I don't know where you heard that he'd been tapped up. I mean, I've heard two or three names of people
he signed a pre-contract with Wolves.
Didn't hear that. I think that's pretty.
No. Have a look what Andy put up today.
Yeah, well, Mick, we either believe what's in the media or we don't, you know.
No, but the story is that, not the story. Your man, the Seville, the fella thereafter is taking over the job on Thursday. You don't have to pay an exit fee.
Yeah, well, what I was reading on Saturday was that Seville were going to keep on because they two games a week for the next month, 6 weeks. That he was going to stay in the job till the World Cup, and then he was going to go. So, it's a hard one to call.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, your man has agreed to take over Seville on Thursday.
Yeah,
that's what seems the thing.
My only reservation about the lad is that because he jumped ship. My reading of it at the time was that he was playing his card. He was holding on to his cards close to his chest when we were looking for him, and the Spanish job was there in the open. And he was hanging on and hanging on. He kept us hanging on. And eventually he got the Spanish job and he said, thanks, Wolves.
I'm just going to take my train of him following him.
And then after that, he got Spain to the World Cup. It was practically, from what I remember, in the dressing room before the World Cup started that he announced he was going to Real Madrid, or the word came out. And he was sacked then. And to me, I'd like to see somebody coming in that's going to commit to Wolves for the next two or three seasons to build on what's there. And I get the impression this guy will turn around in 6 months if somebody else comes along, a better horse comes along, he'll jump.
I understand what your concerns there, but you've got to go back. It took us nearly 2 or 3 months to sort out. Remember, we were down in Cork, knowing when it was taken over, was it going to happen? And it was right up to the last week of nearly kick off to the season. And that's when he had turned down the 3 or 4 jobs. He said he was getting the Wolves. And then what happened, he got offered the Spanish job. And then it was a case, that was on the Wednesday or the Thursday, probably Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Before the season kicked off. And then at that stage, we still hadn't signed the contract there with Fosun. And then he committed to taking up the Spanish job on the Tuesday or the Wednesday. Yeah. And Wolves signed the contract on the Thursday.
Yeah.
And that's why we ended up, we were struggling for a manager. Remember at the beginning, trying to find a manager. So in that sense, he didn't want to be sitting on the sideline. If Wolves hadn't signed the contract.
But that's his job as a manager, Mick.
Huh?
That's his job as a manager, sitting on the sideline. I just want to get it.
But that's, I think he's a good job. But look at the end of the day, as you say, results. We have to see how they work out.
Yeah, results are what I'll tell you. But just get Gary and Tony, just to get a word of the lads before we finish up. What's your thoughts on where we're heading? Manager wise,
I don't know. I don't know enough about that guy. If he comes in to say much. I know he's had a decent enough run in Seville. When they beat us, I didn't think there were great shakes. Yeah. There was a penalty, was it, that we lost by?
No, we missed the penalty. Jimenez missed the penalty.
All right, we missed the penalty, yeah. I didn't think they were... I don't really watch a lot of Spanish football, so I don't know what he's like. So I don't know whether he's better or worse than Bruno, but...
Yeah.
My thinking is that I'd be kind of happy enough for Lopetegui to get a go at it. I particularly in when you compare to some of the other names being mentioned, especially the Portuguese names, like, you know, where untried young Amorim is quite young than that. Which you know, on the one hand, is that good or bad? But I'd nearly prefer to go with Lopetegui when it's not going to be. I don't think there's anyone else knocking around of our, you know.
Well, there is another fella, Gary. CV is looking fairly good. It's your man Svensson, Bo Svensson. He's the manager of Mainz in Germany.
Yeah.
That's the club that Bo Tuchel and what you call him, Klopp had come up with. Now, he's been heavily tipped. Look, the reason I'm saying look, I've no preference. I don't, the lads who's interviewing him or whatever, if they are interviewing him, that's the case. They know more than we will.
Yeah,
but the only thing I'd say that he is experienced, he's used to handling good, big players.
Yeah.
So that would be a major plus on our end. I'll go what you say there, Gary. I suppose the best thing to say is he's not going to cost us a penny. Yes, I'm talking about on a transfer. Although your man Amorim, they have a 25 million release clause.
Buyout or release clause, yeah. Mm.
Release clause. And so I think, look, we'll all know after a number of months how it's shaped. But the one thing he has, tactically, he's very, very aware of what goes on in the games and that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that. But all we can hope is that, like anything, like when Nuno came in, we knew a little bit about doing, not a lot. But we certainly were surprised when what he done, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Legend.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways, you say next page turned over. Hopefully, new era starting on Saturday against Chelsea. At least none of us were over on last Saturday, so at least this week.
While we have a minute, is there what's the thinking on, you know, because of the train strike? Are we up against it getting there and getting back?
I mean, something Mick flying into Gatwick, so we've a bus from Gatwick.
You're not too bad, yeah. I'm into Stansted, all right, yeah.
Well, you get a bus into. I think the tubes are running, are they limited?
I don't know, but it should be a bus from Stansted, Gary, even to get down to what they call
Stamford.
Victoria.
It's Stratford.
Yeah.
Or Victoria.
We got it the last day. It was only a tenner, was it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Into Victoria.
There's a bus station there, Gary, and you can get the bus from
it's
there.
It's kind of underground. You go down from the when you arrive, but it's about. What was it, 40, 45 minutes into?
That's a bit odd, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stratford,
yeah.
The lads have been saying, some people have been saying that the Gatwick Express is running, but it's only reduced, like it's only 2 an hour instead of 4 an hour or something.
Yeah. We'll go for that if it's gone anyway, yeah. Doesn't run to Stansted, though, Gary. Doesn't run to Stansted, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there a Stansted Express as well?
But I think it's a different operator. So
Anyway,
we'll do our homework in the meantime.
What time are you flying, Gary? Are you in Saturday morning?
Shannon Stansted about 7:30, and then Gatwick Shannon about 8:30 Saturday.
Similar to our own times.
8:30 or 9:30, Gary? We're 9:30 back.
I think it's 8:35 or something. Gatwick.
To Dublin. Shannon.
To Shannon. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okie doke. Right, lads. Good old chat.
It's 5-1 Napoli at the moment, anyway, lads. That's all I say to you.
All right. Okay.
Who's
the Napoli manager again?
I'll tell you one thing. I was watching Napoli since the start of the thing, and I think he's fantastic. He's Spalletti.
Yeah. Yeah. I see your man Carvajal was mentioned today as well, by the way, Mick.
Who's Carvajal?
Yeah, your man. Didn't he write the book that Bruno kind of contributed to?
Someone put the fucking thing there, yeah. Coaching for fucking dummies.
But he's in the running, I believe, now. I saw his name mentioned today. So we're getting the master instead of one of his pupils, you know.
Stop.
Good luck. Right, I'll leave you on that note, right? That's something for you to chew over. You can Google Carvajal now.
They wouldn't have picked us with that fucking pain.
Go on.
I know he is.
Be seeing you on Saturday.
Good luck.
Right.
All right, guys.
Good enjoy night.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.